Psalm 23 is a favorite of mine, probably for many of you as well, a wonderful psalm to use as a Lord's Day meditation. Indeed, Jesus is the Good Shepherd in whom we find rest for our souls. And this Song of David, Psalm 23, really helps us to express that resting, you know, to know it, the different aspects of that rest we have in Christ, to express it as well and praise God for it, to enjoy that resting in sweet fellowship with our God and Savior. So as we read his word and meditate on these things tonight, I pray that all of us would indeed taste that sweet goodness of our God, his love for us in Christ, and we would commune. We'd have good fellowship, restful, refreshing fellowship with our God and Savior even now. The sermon title, Resting in My Good Shepherd. And friends, it is indeed a psalm about rest. Maybe the chief psalm about rest in our God. Let's read it together now, the holy and living word of God from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Word of God from Psalm 23. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, what is it to rest? After that recent sermon series about the Sabbath rest of our God, which he graciously gives to you who believe in his Son Jesus Christ, you might be inclined to say that our resting is a matter of worshiping, at least for us Christians. Rest is about worship above all. You heard me say it many times in that sermon series, and it's true. But if we were to get really basic about it tonight, resting is simply a break from all the activity, a break from all of the work that usually occupies us, right? Very simple. That's what we mean when we are after rest. Take a break from all of the activity, all the busyness, all of our labors. And if it is good rest, it comes with freedom from stress and freedom from anxiety and worry and various troubles that are so common to this world. So, dear saints, resting is a state of minimal activity in the body, typically, as well as peace for the mind and the soul. We look for rest in the world in various ways, you know, chilling out on a day off, a vacation on some remote island, get away from it all for a week or two, retirement. But the resting that our bodies and souls crave is the resting that we find in our God, in communion with God, in fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our great shepherd. Our theme tonight, friends, there is no resting like that which the Christian enjoys through the faithful, loving care of the Lord God, our shepherd. Earlier today from 1 Peter 5, we considered how the Lord God, our shepherd, cares for his sheep, and to a large degree he does so by giving us under-shepherds in his church, such as elders. Tonight we want to think more about the shepherding care that the Lord himself gives to us, his covenant people. Or maybe I should say the care he gives to each one of you. Because, after all, Psalm 23 puts it in terms of God's loving care for the individual saint, right? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He refreshes my soul. He restores my soul. I will dwell in his house forever. Very wonderful and personal expression here on from David about that relationship with God, where he is viewed as shepherd. The individual saint is one of his sheep, a sheep who trusts in that good shepherd. It's good to think about God as shepherd of his people. This is language you'll find throughout the whole Bible, beginning to end. But you can only call God your shepherd. Personally, call him your shepherd if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, John 10. The true sheep of God are sinners, not sheep by nature, not at all, the enemies of God by nature, but we become sheep through his redeeming grace. He ransomed us with his own blood. Remember that passage in Acts 20 where Paul's addressing the Ephesian elders, telling them to have careful watch of the flock of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Such an awesome verse. That blood that was shed at the cross. Psalm 23 does not explicitly mention that redemptive work of God by which he made us his sheep, made us his children through his son Jesus Christ. But it's only because of the blood and righteousness of Jesus that we become sheep. And yes, children of God, but the imagery here, sheep for whom he tenderly and so faithfully cares. His sheep are those who have heard his voice, have repented of sin, and have embraced him for eternal life and salvation. Here's the thing. If Jesus has made you his sheep through his most awful suffering and death, you must know that he definitely will keep you, tenderly care for you, continually work to grow you until he brings you at long last into your everlasting resting place in the kingdom of God. Psalm 23 points us to our ultimate resting place with God through Christ his Son, but it's also a reflection upon the various ways in which the Lord God gives us rest even now in this life, in this present evil age. Rest that we may enjoy each and every day through fellowship with our God, prayerful fellowship with him through his word. Fellowship we enjoy, yes, communally with other believers. Though I must say, as I mentioned that communal aspect of it, the Lord's Day, this day of rest in which we come together for worship, is certainly that day when we may reflect on these things and truly taste them and enjoy them, our rest with God. Let's notice from the first part of the psalm how our good shepherd brings us into a resting place where he feeds our souls. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First point this evening, friends, my good shepherd, and I'm going to state these very individually. Hopefully that benefits you as you ponder these things with me tonight. My good shepherd brings me into a resting place where he feeds my soul and makes me grow so that I will live for him. Again, my good shepherd brings me into a resting place where he feeds my soul and makes me grow so that I will live for him. This psalm is a confession of the confidence that David has in his God and the contentment that he has in his God, his good shepherd, who has such marvelous care for David's life. You know, brothers and sisters, through faith in Christ, each of us as Christian people, we're to make this confession of David our own confession. Confession of our great confidence in Christ Jesus, our good shepherd. I want you to notice this word in verse 1. Want. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Might give somebody the impression that the Lord is more like a magical genie. Grants every wish that you might make. Gives you whatever you ask. All that you want, he's going to supply it. Of course, that is not the case at all. The expression here in verse 1 means that God supplies all that we need. To be in want is to be lacking something. You're needing something for life. That's the meaning here. And it's certainly not the typical way that the word want is used throughout the scriptures, Old or New Testament, in the English versions anyway. But that's retained here from the Old English of the King James, and it's a beautiful statement. But it doesn't mean God's a genie, grants everything you want, but he does supply all that we need. And as soon as you hear that, you might wonder, is that really the case? Are there not times when we really need something for the body? Maybe need something for the soul, and we go without it for a time? Maybe we go without it in spite of many prayers for it. Absolutely. That's the case. But the point is, here in Psalm 23, the Lord God knows what we need. And if he withholds something, whether it's a good thing for the body or for the soul, if he withholds it from you, it's because he knows that you need something even more. Something, yes, better. Maybe to learn patience. Maybe to grow in faith through deeper reliance on him in time of great trouble. Maybe humility. You have to understand this, beloved in the Lord. We shall not consider ourselves to be lacking anything when through faith we have the shepherd himself, who in his perfect wisdom appoints all that we receive and everything that's withheld. It's perfectly in accord with his loving and most wise plan for our lives. When we have that shepherd himself and we know he has us, we shall not want. Reminds me of some of my favorite words in the whole Bible. If you were ever to ask me my life verse, this is it. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The Lord Jesus himself is our portion. We may need something, one thing or another for the body. We may need any number of things for the soul, for our families, to do our work. But if we have him, our good shepherd, we are so rich. And there is nothing in the world that can satisfy our hearts like communion with the living God, our Savior. Our great resting place in this present age is in his presence, enjoying him. Peace that we may realize and enjoy as often as we draw near to him in prayer. So I ought never want when I simply rest in Christ Jesus, my good shepherd. But the resting place described here in Psalm 23, there is a spatial dynamic here, isn't there? Green pastures, where he makes his sheep lie down. Still waters in Hebrew is actually waters of resting. A quiet stream where the shepherd leads his sheep. What do sheep do in green pastures but eat? What do they do beside calm waters but drink? The Lord provides us with physical food and drink, to be sure, but these are expressions that should be obvious, dear brothers and sisters. These are expressions that symbolize the rest that the Lord Jesus gives you, his sheep, as he brings you near to himself and feeds your soul with food and drink for the refreshment of your spiritual life. As a shepherd leads his sheep to safe and quiet places for grass or for some water that will sustain their lives, so also the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, brings us near to himself for a resting place like no other. By his word and Holy Spirit, he feeds us. And you know what? He feeds us with himself. Each day of our lives, and especially on the Lord's Day, we ought to open his word, prayerfully commune with the Lord our God, with our Savior Jesus Christ, even feed upon him by faith for spiritual nourishment. Those are the green pastures and the quiet waters that you will taste and know God's goodness and be refreshed, your souls restored. Verse 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not only refreshes the soul, this spiritual nourishment that the Lord gives us as good shepherd, he refreshes the soul, but also causes us to grow in him that we may live for him, which is what I said initially in making point number one here. Sheep are not concerned to walk in righteous paths, not animals anyway, but our good shepherd, Jesus, is the most righteous and holy king who saves sinners by his shed blood and sanctifies us by his Holy Spirit so that we believers, his sheep, will walk in his righteous ways, in the ways that please our God, in the ways that bring him honor and glory. By feeding us rich spiritual food, our good shepherd does not only mean to satisfy our souls, have us enjoy peace in his presence. He wants to purify us. He feeds to grow his sheep, to make us more and more like him. Those paths of righteousness must be walked even as the sheep pass through the valley of deep darkness and death, this fallen world of sin and rebellion, of many evils that threaten our lives. So notice where the psalm goes. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So secondly, friends, my good shepherd leads me through dark places, but keeps me and comforts me with his presence. Psalm 23 is a very comforting psalm, but it's not an unrealistic psalm. It's not giving us, you know, something like a silly Hallmark card that tells you your life is always going to be good. The Good Shepherd leads us into a resting place for spiritual refreshment and restoration and nourishment, that we would grow and walk in righteousness, but we're not always in a peaceful, safe place. That's obvious. Our shepherd leads us through very dark and dangerous places at times. Places in this fallen world that in fact are life-threatening. Places where indeed we can lose our earthly lives. That's the point here in verse 4, brothers and sisters. Not an unrealistic psalm at all. Comforting to be sure, but it deals with the realities of life in a very dark and fallen world. A shepherd in the Middle East may have had to lead his flock of sheep through desert places. And if you know some of the details about the land there in the Middle East, you've probably seen pictures. You have these spots in the desert where flash floods will bring great crags into the rock, right, over years. And there are these little, they call them wadis, these places where you might go down and find water, and a shepherd might actually lead his sheep into one of these wadis to find some water for the sheep. But right around the corner, there could be a lion or a wolf or a bandit, a thief looking to steal the sheep. That's the reality in the Middle East. Here's a very realistic picture of life in the fallen world, a world where the people of God are not spared from every evil, are we? Not spared from enemies who might do us harm, sometimes even kill us. But verse 4 reminds us that none of this happens by chance. You heard a little bit of that this morning from 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me just remind you very briefly again, friends, our good shepherd knows what he is doing. He doesn't lead us into these dark places because he's ignorant or anything like that. He leads us very purposefully, leads us through these dark and deadly places, but he keeps us. He remains with us. He protects us so that whatever damage might be done to the body, he at long last keeps a firm hold on our souls. We may lose earthly life, may lose life in the body, but he remains with us still and brings us even into greater rest in his presence and glory, in fact. None of this necessarily means physical safety, health, strength. But it means that any evils that confront us in this world are under the sovereign dominion of our mighty God and King. It means that the Lord Jesus will never leave his blood-bought sheep, but will guide us through danger, will give us the grace to suffer with him, and will ultimately use even our enemies to refine us and make us more and more like Christ through faith in him. So I can say, whatever the circumstances might be, whatever evils I might face, I will fear no evil, for you, Jesus, my good shepherd, are with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. A shepherd uses rod and staff for various purposes. He might beat off predators with one, might use the other to give the sheep a good bump to get back in with the flock when they stray, or maybe a good whack. That's part of his faithful care. He's going to protect us from the predators. He fights our battles for us. So much of the time, he just rescues us right out of their clutches. But you know what, friends? This is part of his loving care for his sheep. Hard discipline and correction at times. Yeah, maybe a good whack with the rod. The psalm really helps us to think about the many ways in which our good shepherd so faithfully gives us the loving care we need. But you know what? If you just think about it for a minute, sheep are stupid. You can't miss that point of the psalm. He's the great good shepherd and all wise and powerful and good. And we're a bunch of foolish sheep prone to wander. And as sinners, brothers and sisters, don't you know it? We do wander. We so often are in need of his loving discipline. Well, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, having shed his blood for the sheep to make us his own, and sending his Holy Spirit into our lives to join us to him for life, for rest of soul, for eternal salvation, for glory, he's going to love us in this way as well. He's going to take those foolish sheep that you and I so often can be, and he's going to discipline. He's going to give us a good bump or a push or maybe a good whack, that we would continue with the flock, continue with our shepherd, press on to glory, keep growing in him through faith. Well, notice where the psalm ends here in verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So thirdly, my good shepherd gives me abundant life through his love and a resting place in his house forever. My good shepherd gives me abundant life through his love and a resting place in his house forever. Verse 5 is not yet a picture of glory, right? And the obvious indication there is the word enemies. We're not going to have any enemies in glory, right? So maybe verse 6 gets to glory in his house forevermore, right? But in verse 5, you prepare a table before me, so I have this good feast spread out before me through the Lord's kindness and his love and goodness and grace. But it's in the presence of my enemies. They're still present. We're still in this dark world where there are enemies that threaten us, that cause us much trouble and much grief. It's another reminder, dear brothers and sisters, that in this world, even in this present evil age, while there are enemies present, they may in fact surround you at times, still, even in that situation, the Lord gives us abundant life. That's the point in verse 5. So even when there's much trouble and strife, even right then and there, you may know through faith in Jesus, your good shepherd, abundant life in his presence, feasting in his house. The Lord lavishes his love upon us. At a number of points in his life, King David was surrounded by enemies. I don't have time to mention them tonight, but you may remember his story. Saul chasing him, Absalom, his son, at another point. He's chased by these enemies. They want his life. They want to kill him. He's having to deal with them in one way or another. That was real trouble in David's life. It was no fun. It was indeed a real misery. But David knew that his God was with him. And he received good gifts from God, from the loving hand of God all along the way. And you say, well, wait, when David's out there in the desert and he's not back at the palace, right? He's not in Jerusalem. He's not back at home with family, right? With wife or servants cooking a nice meal. He's out there in those rocky crags running from Saul or Absalom. There's no food there. There's no feasting there. I'm wrong. That's exactly what he means. Go to Psalm 63, another favorite psalm of mine. Glorious psalm here as well. Listen to what David writes there. This is when the heading on the psalm is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So he's on the run. He's running for his life, maybe from Saul, maybe from Absalom. But notice what he says. He's longing to be back near God at the sanctuary, but he's not there. He says in verse 3, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul, notice, will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. Now, where's his bed in the night while he's writing Psalm 63? He's on the run in the desert. There's no food for the body. Maybe not much at all. Maybe just some stale bread. But he has that spiritual food. The Lord communes with his sheep when they're in trouble. We just turn to him in prayer. That's what David does in Psalm 63. That's what he's doing here in Psalm 23. Maybe there are enemies and there's trouble in David's life actually when he's writing Psalm 23 as well. But he knows God is with him, lavishing his love upon him all along the way. Well, in verse 5, we ought to think of all those times, brothers and sisters, in our lives, all those times when we've had to face one enemy or another. And I don't just mean other people. I think we really lose the practical and personal power of the Psalms in our lives by thinking that every time it mentions enemies, which is like almost every other psalm, for crying out loud, you think that that's just other people. You're just missing out. You're surrounded and attacked by spiritual enemies constantly. The devil himself, so many powers of darkness, sin that indwells you. It's all around you. It's even in the church, all over our lives, in our families, in the church itself. There are enemies. They're not just necessarily other people who want to, you know, end your life. Remember those times when you've had to face those enemies. But God graciously supplied you with good gifts to sustain you in the joy of your salvation. The table here, it's a feast which God spreads for us in his own house. Not necessarily physical food, right? Maybe not at all physical food. The anointing of the head with oil, it's a symbol of God's welcoming us into this feast for our happiness and healing and spiritual health. You know, anointing with oil in the Old Testament, you probably think in the first place that's about, you know, maybe David becoming king, or it's a Levite becoming a high priest or something like that. When people are ordained, they're anointed with oil in the Old Testament. That's very common. But you know what? They had a cultural custom of anointing people when they showed up for a feast. And a kind thing for a host at a feast to do in the ancient Near East is take oil and anoint his honored guest. It's a symbol of happiness and health. So I don't think David's talking here about royal anointing as king. He's talking about a feast where God invites him. It's moving away from the imagery of shepherd and sheep now, isn't it? It's moving into royal adoption into God's family. Love that he lavishes not just on sheep, but on children in Jesus Christ. Spreads a feast for us, a table in his house. Yes, the enemies are there, but we have love of God lavished upon us. The head anointed with oil, the cup overflows, much good drink. It's a joyous feast in the house of God, a symbol of the abundant life that he gives us in his love. Brothers and sisters, Our good shepherd gives us, through his grace, through his awesome love, he gives us abundant life to each and every believer. Are you tasting that goodness of your God? Indeed, you may taste and enjoy it each day of the week. Notice, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You may taste it each and every day of the week simply by drawing near to your good shepherd in prayer, feasting on his word, resting in his grace and love for you, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on around you, no matter how many enemies you're having to deal with. You may say with David, surely goodness and mercy, God's steadfast love, shall follow me all the days of my life. Brothers and sisters, do not deny yourself sweet spiritual rest in communion with your God and Savior. How foolish we sheep can be that we deny ourselves these things because we just won't go to him. We won't call on his name. We won't think on his record of amazing faithful care of his people. Even as an astounding record of loving care in our own lives. But indeed, he gives us this day, the Lord's Day, this festive day of rest, so that we may take a break from so much activity, from so many troubles and anxieties, so that we may cast our burdens on the Lord and feast in his house today. Brothers and sisters, he gives us abundant life through his amazing love for sinners. If we are welcomed into his house, so wonderfully fed, nourished, satisfied, refreshed today and each Lord's Day, how much greater is the fullness of life in his presence forevermore. At the end of verse 6, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The resting place we have in God's presence today, the Lord's Day, the spiritual rest and refreshment we receive through faith in our good shepherd who feeds us with himself through word and sacrament. It's all a foretaste of the glorious life we shall forever enjoy in God's presence, even as we behold his face in Christ Jesus. Dear saints, use this psalm. Use the Lord's Day itself prayerfully and heartily. Use the means of grace to receive abundant life that is yours today in Christ and will forever be yours through his loving care as your good shepherd. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.